Live from New York, it's The Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. We have a lot of material to share with you today that's going to be empowering. Of course, we always begin with the latest on health and healing. We'll talk about how organic food reduces pesticide exposure from Boise State University, and how the sugar industry's attempt to influence public health policy is a major issue, not in the United States, but it should be. This is from the British Medical Journal. Then we're going to look at caution concerning the possible health benefits of alcohol. This is from the British Medical Journal. As of today, alcohol was touted as being the thing that could help women and men of all ages. Not so. It was all bad science. This is what I've been saying for over 30 years. Now it's been proven. I'll give you the lowdown on that. And also, think of the 10 million American women each day using synthetic hormone replacement therapy. And I said, don't use it. There's natural ways of rebalancing your hormones, and it leads to an increased risk of heart attack, stroke, breast cancer, ovarian cancer, colorectal cancer, and dementia. Well, now, according to the Oxford University, even short-term use of hormone replacement therapy, quote, is associated with increased ovarian cancer risk, even short-term. So we'll deal with that and a lot more on health and healing. From our environmental segment today, could cattle feedlots, that's where they group a lot of cattle just before slaughter, be spreading antibiotic resistance through the air, from Texas Tech University. Also, Minnesota's new GMO labeling bill could change everything for Monsanto in a bad way, which is good. And California regulators are allowing the oil industry to drill hundreds of wastewater injection wells into aquifers with drinkable water. How in the world did that happen? That's the water people in California need. You can't be polluting that. But they did. Of course, it's California. You got enough money, you buy what you want out there. California ranks right up there with New York. Well, no one really ranks with New York and New Jersey for total corruption of our entire political system. But California's trying. Yeah. Also today, we're going to continue sharing insights into the problems of vaccines with real science. Dr. Gary Coles, what's behind Big Pharma's freakout media blitz over measles? New information just in on the measles MMR vaccine causing diabetes, arthritis, and death. Again, this is from Professor James Tracy. Also, U.S. media blackout. The Italian courts rule vaccines cause autism. From Mary Holland. Why aren't we reporting it? I'll give you that as well. And then we're going to give you a little clip, about 8 minutes long, explaining, and this is from Mike Adams, the health ranger, who did a good job on this. I commend him for that. If something is toxic in everyday use, outside of the body, so toxic that even a dentist has to have a special permit to use it, why is it any less toxic when we inject it right into the bloodstream? What happened to common sense and reason? We'll share that with you as well. So you see, we have a packed hour. And also, for those of you who tuned in and you were not able to hear my five-hour special? Well, that's because just after Tuesday night into Wednesday morning, I did a five-hour original, in-depth investigative report on vaccines, all based upon science. All the evidence and information could be presented in a court of law against vaccines. They crashed our system and deleted over 25,000 articles and hit the backup system, the redundant system. So it was malicious, and they succeeded, but they didn't get everything they wanted, and they didn't get the archive shows. So that's one of the reasons why I keep saying write down this number, because if you have this number, even if they crash the system, which is backup, you can still hear the show. Write it down, because boy, does this prove you need this. And by the way, we had, I think, over 60,000 minutes yesterday, people listening over the telephone. 712-432-7231. 712-432-7231. Now that will get you anywhere in the United States or Canada to be able to listen to the show. Also, Radio Stream works on our website. Again, we got a backup. We brought in a whole team of IT people and rebuilt it. And so you can, and also you can always go to TuneIn, TuneIn.com, TuneIn.com. So we're planning even more hard-hitting investigative reporting on the dangers of vaccines. Richard Gale and myself are writing an in-depth scholarly article. It'll be read and posted Monday, challenging the entire left for being wrong on the issue of vaccines. You would have thought without looking at the article's masthead that it was written by one of the far-right groups wanting to take children away and forcibly inject them, wanting to get the addresses and publish the addresses and names online of any parents' home and the parents who refuse to get their children vaccinated, putting parents who don't want to vaccinate in prison. That's coming from the left. The left. So we're challenging that specifically, and we're using their arguments and we're deconstructing them. Clearly, on this issue, on other issues, they have been on the right side of history, and I commend them for that. But on vaccines and on AIDS, they have been dead wrong on every single thing they've done. So we're going to hit both those on Monday. Let's begin. Organic food is what we should be eating, and historically that's all we did eat was organic food. Now, Boise State University, publishing an article in Science Daily, shows that there's a big benefit to eating organic food. You have less exposure to pesticides. Quote, while health-conscious individuals understand the benefits of eating fresh fruits and vegetables, they may not be aware of the amount of pesticides they could be ingesting along with their vitamin C and fiber. A new study published in the Environmental Health Perspectives is among the first to predict a person's pesticide exposure based upon information of their usual diet. And then it goes on to talk about how they did this study. And what it comes down to is this, that they looked at 4,500 people in six cities, and they looked at the organophosphates, the most common insecticide used on conventionally grown produce in the United States, and how many diseases from multiple sclerosis on that this is linked to. Really bad. So on the one hand, we want people eating more fruits and vegetables, yes, but we want to eat them organic, because otherwise, if you're the average person, you're not washing these. You're not. Now, you can take a food like an avocado because it doesn't have to be organic. There's some things that just don't have to be because the sprays are not getting through to the fruit because of the thick outer coating. In any case, you can wash it, but you have to know how to wash it and what to wash it. Hydrogen peroxide will do a good job. Veggie wash does a good job. But most people don't do that, and therefore they're eating more fruits and vegetables, they're getting more pesticides, and that's not good. That's what that study is saying. That's one more reason to buy from your certified local health food stores, your food co-ops. There's some really good food co-ops around the United States, and they're growing. And from your local farmers markets. There's a backstory that I just found out about that I didn't know about. A person who attended the recent health retreat we did as a fundraiser for one of our sister stations said, I was really disappointed when in Washington, D.C., the PBS station that had been playing your programs for years, and you were their top fundraiser in their history, that they stopped. And it was because of the sugar industry. And the sugar industry applied pressure by calling Sharon Rockefeller, the head of the local station board, and convincing her that she should call the station manager and kill any further playing of the show. Because in one scene, you were showing how much sugar an average American consumes in a day. And you were pouring it out of a bag. And I said, yeah, all that's true. In fact, the station manager, who I knew from Detroit, who had just come into Washington, said he was very sorry, but he got a pressure call from Sharon Rockefeller, said that he wouldn't be playing the show anymore because of pressure from the sugar industry. I said, but everything I said was accurate. He said, this is Washington, D.C. Everything here is political. It has nothing to do with the truth. Of course, you're honest about it, but it doesn't matter. And point of fact, earlier that day, David Slater, whose mother, by the way, is one of America's great feminist attorneys, Alice Slater, he had poured out on a scale, gram scale, the USDA's statement of how much sugar a person consumes and sealed the bag. So that's how much we care about being accurate. Well, here's what the person said. Did you know that you had counseled, and I won't mention the person's name, who was responsible, one of the responsible people, and helped that person overcome terminal cancer, and that person had a conversation with me and said that this person was conflicted. On the one hand, being a part of a group to take you off the air for statements about the dangers of sugar, on the other hand, having saved this person's life. And I said, that doesn't surprise me. That just came about. I didn't know that part of the story. This is the current story. This is from the British Medical Journal. Quote, an investigative report from the British Medical Journal claims to expose extensive links going much deeper than previously known between public health scientists and the sugar industry. Several of the big companies who have been seeking influence over public health organizations and researchers are headquartered in the United States, where the impact can only be magnified in their favor. Now, without doubt, this is a major issue for the United States. And that was from Jonathan Gornell to Medical News Today. Several of the big companies who have been seeking influence over public health organizations and researchers are headquartered in the United States, a far bigger market where the impact of much such engagement can only be magnified. And it was a four-part investigation. Evidence, quote, of a government committee working on nutrition advice, receiving funding from companies whose products are considered by many to be responsible for ongoing diabetes incident. The British Medical Journal claimed that the report raises, quote, important questions about the potential for bias and conflict of interest among public health experts. Members of the Scientific Advisory Committee on Nutrition and Medical Research Council's Human Nutrition Research were found to have received funding from sugar giants, including Coca-Cola, Mars, Nestle, Sainsbury, the Institute of Brewing and Distilling, and Weight Watchers International, among others. The, quote, the extent of these donations was found to be unprecedented, with one former researcher, Susan Jebb, professor of diet and population health at the University of Oxford and chair of the British government's responsibility deal food network, accepting funding worth $2.1 million from companies such as Coca-Cola. A principal investigator also received $297,000 from Coca-Cola in one study she was working on. Some of the companies who invested in this professor's research included Unilever and Coca-Cola, And they're now members, Coca-Cola and Unilever, members of the responsible deal, which she chairs. Well, how good is this? Finally, we know the truth. Well, we've known the truth because we have the most comprehensive article ever written anywhere in the world on sugar. It's on our website, and you should read it. In fact, a brand new edition of it is going up there today that shows you the dangers of sugar, sugar and cancer, sugar and heart disease, sugar and dementia, sugar and Alzheimer's, sugar and obesity, sugar and tooth decay, sugar and periodontal conditions, sugar and gingivitis, sugar and infection, sugar and candida, all based upon quality research. But now that little incident where people from the Sugar Institute could make a call to people who are connected with Coca-Cola, by the way, Rockefeller was on the board of Coca-Cola or Pepsi-Cola, and suddenly say, we don't want that information going out to the public. What Gary Noll is doing is unacceptable to us, and suddenly they could kill it. Not so easy to do now, because now the full light of public scrutiny, whistleblowers, freedom of information documents, and a lot of science shows that their product is deadly. And if it were invented for the first time today, it would never be allowed in use. And so that's the deal. So just remember, the next time you go to eat sugar in any form, it's bad to the bone, and the people telling you it's okay, and that's what this British Medical Journal article said in their investigation. The scientists who are out there, the doctors who are out there telling you it's okay, it's, look, in moderation, you know, sugar is a good thing. They're paid to do that. These are people who are nothing more than propagandists for the people. And the pharmaceutical industry has been doing this for decades to tens of thousands of physicians and scientists. Lipitor is good for you. No, it's not. None of the statins are. Every one of those pitch people are paid. At all these medical conferences, they're paid. Our entire public health discourse has been compromised by financial interest. So do not trust unquestioningly the so-called experts, whether it's from the Council on Foreign Relations, totally compromised, the Trilateral Commission, not worth listening to, the Davos Group, such a group of prima donna pimping for special interest. You go to a Davos conference, you get 1,600 private jets, and they talk about climate change. What part of climate change are you talking about if you flew in here on a private jet and created an enormous carbon footprint? The hypocrisy in our country is just staggering. But it's good it's being exposed, too. Here's another myth that's being exposed. How many times have we heard alcohol is good for you? You live a longer life if you drink alcohol. Well, I wrote a book on alcohol. I've written articles on alcohol. I put a lot of time and energy into it. Let me tell you, alcohol is not good for you. It's not good for anyone, under any circumstances. But I went to France, I went to Italy, I went to Spain to see whether or not the original French paradox was accurate. It wasn't. I wanted to look at what kind of alcohol they were talking about. They were talking about grape juice fermented, which is wine. And they did not distinguish the sulfate-free wine with the low alcohol content that is home-brewed or home-fermented, it's not brewed, that people have commonly there. They didn't talk about the fact that almost all the families have fresh fruit on their plate, and that's what they eat for dessert. They didn't talk about portion size, and that normally, and if you're eating traditional fare, you eat small little saucer plate dishes of food. You might eat five or six of them, but they're small. I've never have I been ever, and I do a lot of traveling, I've never been in a traditional home where everyone just glopped everything onto a plate, made a big, huge mound of food, threw it all together, like we do here. Go into any restaurant, all you can eat. They don't do it that way. They take one dish at a time, and it's a relatively small portion. In fact, so small that a lot of Americans want to have more, not realizing there are other dishes coming. You'll get a soup by itself, you get a salad by itself, you get an antipasto by itself, you get a main dish by itself, which are small, and generally you get a fruit for dessert. And you take your time eating this. And there's always grapes available. That's the part they left out of the French paradox. They just came back and said it's alcohol. And suddenly everybody started drinking gin and vodka and bourbon and other whiskeys, thinking, well, I can have a couple of these a day. Now, here's the reality. For every glass of hard alcohol you drink, you're killing about 1 million cells. Brain, heart, liver, and kidney. Now, you have hundreds of billions of brain cells, but inevitably, you're going to end up with a prematurely aged brain, inflammation, cognition decline. Even if all you did is never get drunk, if you just had that social martini, as a lot of people in my parents' generation had, as a way of relaxing, they'd have a drink before dinner, a martini for whatever reason that was, and they paid a price for it. Terrible price. This is from the British Medical Journal as of today. Quote, caution concerning the possible health benefits of alcohol, beneficial only for women over 65. Listen carefully. Quote, any health benefits from alcohol may be limited to women over 65 and even then may have been exaggerated by existing studies. Alcohol consumption has been associated with more than 200 acute and chronic conditions with estimated health and social cost of $55 billion a year. Just in England alone, globally more than 3 million deaths a year are attributed to alcohol. And then it goes on to, but some studies have suggested compared with non-drinkers, moderate consumption may protect against cardiovascular disease and bring mortality benefits. But, quote, this association is contentious, and with some arguing that the protective effect of light drinking may be exaggerated by selective biases in studies that could skew results. So, let me give you an example. I remember one of these I went out and debated on. Let's say you have a group of people that do not drink, like Seventh-day Adventists. They're also vegetarian. Now, they live a longer life and have less heart disease and cancer and dementia than any other group in the United States. All right. Then they looked at it. Loma Linda University looked at it and found that if with one handful of walnuts each week, you reduce your risk of heart disease substantially. That's just one single item in the diet, and they eat a lot of these because it's another way they're getting their protein and their fatty acids. Another group said, well, non-drinkers to drinkers, the drinkers lived a slightly longer life. All right, which non-drinkers are you referring to? Are you referring to people who are highly stressed and or workaholics who are not going to live a long life and stress will be a killer compared to people who may not like their life but they keep themselves slightly buzzed to take off the tension? That's their way of reducing stress. Instead of real and authentic communication, they kind of garble their communication in some alcoholic haze. Well, did you compare healthy, happy non-drinkers with unhealthy, unhappy drinkers? No, you didn't do that. Well, then your study's biased. It's garbage. So do not trust when the newspaper said, you know, that drinking promotes longevity. It does not. You also end up with a fatty heart and irregular heartbeats when you're drinking. But then again, they didn't compare what they were drinking. They didn't say that drinking a 2% wine versus a 80% bourbon. They just said alcohol. Well, it's very easy then to think that it's alcohol. It doesn't matter what kind of alcohol it is. I could have a beer, wine. I could have a whiskey, gin, scotch. No, you have to be very specific on these, and there have not been any really good studies to show this. But now they're challenging the previous studies. Thank goodness, it's about time. And finally, This is about one of the most dangerous things women can do, and one of the medical industry's most profitable drugs, and that's the hormone replacement drugs. First, it's not natural. The number of hormones within a horse, a mare specifically, is substantially different than in a woman. And they collect the mare's urine, and from that they make Premarin. When a woman takes this to turn off hot flashes, she's not being told that there are easy way of turning off hot flashes. If you give up coffee, that helps. That'll also help prevent and reverse fibrocystic breast disease. And you can also use Dong Quai, Fo Tai, Gota Cola, Passion Vine, Vitex, go to a vegan diet. All of those help promote a reduction and elimination of hot flashes and night sweats. You can remineralize the bone by taking in boron, vitamin K2 and 3, phosphorus, manganese, calcium, magnesium, boron, and isoflavones. That strengthens the matrix of the bones so you can help prevent or overcome osteoporosis. And we've done this. We did mineral. There was a doctor at the Tri-State Healing Center who measured bone density. And we had, I think, 1,000 people over a two-year period do a bone density study. And we were able to reverse their osteoporosis. It's easy. But they want to get you on this hormone replacement therapy. This is the latest from the University of Oxford. Quote, taking hormone replacement therapy for menopause, even for just a few years, is associated with a significantly increased risk of developing the two most common types of ovarian cancer, according to a detailed reanalysis of all available evidence published in The Lancet. The findings from a meta-analysis of 52 separate epidemiological studies involving over 21,488 women with ovarian cancer, almost all from North America, Europe, and Australia, indicate that women who use hormone replacement therapy for just a few years are about 40% more likely to develop ovarian cancer in women who have never taken hormone replacement therapy. Quote, for women who take hormone replacement therapy for 5 years, from around age 50, there will be about one extra ovarian cancer for every 1,000 users and one extra ovarian cancer death for every 1,700 users. That was according to Professor Sir Richard Peto, University of Oxford. Well, you've got 6 million women in the United Kingdom and over 10 million in the United States using it. You got 16 million women in 2 countries using it because their doctors haven't done their homework, haven't looked at natural replacement therapy, and as a result, these women are ending up dying. And that doesn't even deal with heart attack, stroke, dementia. That's just one of the 7 different side effects that are deadly from hormone replacement therapy. My advice, never, and I mean never, take synthetic hormone replacement therapy. There are a lot of natural, non-toxic ways that you can be helped. I'm Gary Nall, back in a moment. Please stay with us. Could cattle feedlots be spreading antibiotic resistance through the air? Well, Texas Tech University addressed that issue. Here's what it says. Quote, a new study shows scientists are starting to understand how antibiotic resistance from open-air farms, that's your feedlots, can travel through the air to spread to human populations. A team from the Institute of Environmental and Human Health at Texas Tech University in Lubbock, Texas, analyzed air samples around feedlots at cattle farms in the southern high plains that lie in northwestern Texas. In the Journal of Environmental Health Perspectives, they report how they found evidence of feedlot-derived bacteria, antibiotics, and bits of DNA that code for antibiotic resistance in the samples in the air. The study is thought to be the first to document evidence of airborne transmission of antibiotic resistance from open-air farm setting. That's a feedlot. And there was 70% of antibiotics are used in animal farming. That's according to the professor of ecotoxicology at the university. And that's why do they use it? To keep the cattle from getting sick? Nope. Not at all. The reason that they use it is because antibiotics get cattle faster to the market, fatter, quicker. If you take an inexpensive antibiotic and you can have an animal gain 20% more weight in half the time, you sell the animal by the pound, and that's why they do it. Now, every time I go into Denver, which is probably two or three times a year, for years and years, I do a lot of PBS work out there. You smell, historically, depending upon the route I take, you smell the cattle in the feedlots long way off. And that is really bad. So what I would suggest is this. If you happen to live within 10 miles of a feedlot anywhere in America, get a petition, get the science that I just cited. It'll be posted, the article, on my website. And then petition to get safety standards so that they have to stop using antibiotics. Ideally, they shouldn't use the antibiotics. And also, they could get a different way of working with these feedlots where they clean up the air. They could have large venting apparatuses around these feedlots. So that's an idea. 100% death rate of baby killer whales along the West Coast. Alarm bells ring as no newborns have survived in the past 3 years. Quote, this is absolutely the worst thing possible. Pregnant orca dies with decomposing stillborn full-term fetus inside. We're going to lose them. They'll be extinct for sure. From Energy News. For an endangered orca population living off the British Columbia coast, Thursday's death of a young adult female couldn't be much worse, according to marine scientists. And it was an 18-year-old female, and according to the Vancouver Aquarium and the scientists from the university, it was, there's, quote, virtually no survival of the babies anymore, which of course means there's no future. So what it goes on to say is that something is happening. How about Fukushima? How about radiation? It's in the water. It's in the air. It's in the tuna. How about the fish that the orca eats that are contaminated? And then you contaminate the reproductive system. That's where they should be looking. Good news out in Minnesota, because we rarely hear of things going out there in the environment, but good news in that they are creating a bill, labeling bill, that could change everything for Monsanto. And we're going to be posting this right now. It's SB 335, and it's all about listing the genetically modified ingredients so that you know if there's a food that's genetically engineered. And they can't any longer say that GMO foods and regular foods are the same. They are not. So we commend the people and the activists out in Minnesota. Please let us know. Keep us in the loop of what's happening, and we will share it with other states. And finally, from our environmental group, this comes from Mike Gorisky, and it says, the problems with California's underground injection control program are far worse than originally reported. It has now been revealed that California regulators not only permitted hundreds of wastewater injection wells, but also thousands more well injection fluids for, quote, enhanced oil recovery into aquifers protected under the Federal Safe Drinking Water Act. The fallout from the ongoing review of California's deeply flawed underground injection control program continues as new documents reveal that state regulators are investigating more than 500 injection wells for potentially dumping oil industry wastewater into aquifers protected under the Federal Safe Drinking Water Act, as well as state law. Last July, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency ordered an emergency shutdown of 11 wastewater injection wells in California. In October, 9 of the wells were confirmed to have been illegally dumping wastewater into protected aquifers. Now a letter from Steve Bolin, the state oil and gas supervisor for California's Division of Oil, Gas, and Geothermal Resources, sent to the EPA, but just revealed via Freedom of Information Act request, shows that the problem is much more widespread than previously disclosed to the public. So here's how it works. You've got over 532 wells in California that are injecting toxins into your protected drinking water aquifers. Let me just explain how this works. Once these toxins, and by the way, these toxins are not declared, so at least 90% of them, we don't even know what they are because of the lobbying by Cheney in his secret meetings when he originally passed all this. It's protected. It's proprietary. So we don't know what they're dumping. What we do know is that it's bad, dangerous, toxic. And once you put this into drinking water, the concept of the solution to pollution is dilution does not hold, because some of these chemicals are toxic at parts per billion. So it's in the drinking water. You're going to drink it. It's going to be in your body. It's going to be harmful. And yet your politicians have been influenced, as most politicians have, by the lobbyists who pour lots of money into their campaigns. So you have every right to be concerned. I'm Gary Knoll. We're going to now listen in to what goes in your body from these vaccines from a different perspective. It's only about 7 minutes long. I think you'll find it insightful.
Have you ever wondered what's really in vaccines? According to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control, all the following ingredients are routinely used as vaccine additives. Aluminum, a light metal that causes dementia and Alzheimer's disease. You should never inject yourself with aluminum. Antibiotics, chemicals that promote superbugs, which are deadly antibiotic-resistant strains of bacteria that are killing tens of thousands of Americans every year. Formaldehyde, a pickling chemical used to preserve cadavers. It's highly toxic to the nervous system, causing blindness, brain damage, and seizures. Monosodium glutamate, MSG, a neurotoxic chemical called an excitotoxin. It causes brain neurons to be overexcited to the point of death. MSG is toxic even when consumed in foods, where it causes migraine headaches and endocrine system damage. You should never inject yourself with MSG, but that's what health workers do when they inject you with vaccines. Thimerosal, a methylmercury compound that causes severe permanent nervous system damage. Mercury is highly toxic to the brain. You should never touch, swallow, or inject mercury at any dose. There is no safe dose of mercury. Doctors and vaccine pushers lie to you and say there is no mercury in vaccines, but that's utterly false. Even the CDC readily admits right on its own website that vaccines still contain mercury. Now, consider this. The most common side effect of a vaccine injection is a headache. The CDC admits that over 30% of those receiving vaccines experience headaches or migraines. Gee, think about it. What could possibly be in vaccines that would cause headaches, migraines, and brain damage? How about the mercury, the formaldehyde, the aluminum, and the MSG? Even if you believe in the theory of vaccines as a helpful way to train the immune system to recognize pathogens, why would anyone, especially a doctor, think it's okay to inject human beings with mercury, MSG, formaldehyde, and aluminum? If vaccines are supposed to be good for you, then why do they contain so many additives that are bad for you? You wouldn't want to eat mercury in your tuna fish. You wouldn't want MSG in a sandwich. And you certainly wouldn't want formaldehyde in your soda. So why would you allow yourself to be injected with these same deadly substances? And just as importantly, why wouldn't the vaccine industry offer clean vaccines without any brain-damaging additives? Think about it. When you buy health food, you want that health food to have no mercury, no MSG, and certainly no formaldehyde. No sane person would knowingly eat those neurotoxic poisons. And yet, astonishingly, those same people literally line up to be injected with those exact same brain-damaging poisons with the justification that somehow this injection is good for me. Absurdly, the vaccine industry says these toxic ingredients are intentionally added to vaccines to make them work better. Yes, that's the reason they give us. Mercury makes vaccines work better, they insist.
Mercury-containing vaccines may help, not harm kids, according to two new studies in the journal Pediatrics. There have been widespread concerns that mercury-based preservatives in vaccines might impair the neurological development of children. These new studies suggest that the opposite, that the preservatives may actually be associated with improved behavior and mental performance.
But wait a minute. I thought the theory behind vaccines was that weakened viruses would give the immune system a kind of rehearsal so that it would build up antibodies to the real thing. Where does mercury, MSG, or formaldehyde fit anywhere in that theory? Does your body benefit in any way from exposure to formaldehyde? Of course not. The very idea is ludicrous. So, are there such things as clean vaccines? I challenge you to try to find one. They simply don't exist for the population at large. Nearly all vaccines for the masses are deliberately formulated with neurotoxic chemicals that have absolutely nothing to do with the science of vaccinations, but everything to do with autism, Alzheimer's disease, early onset dementia, immune suppression, and the mass dumbing down of brain function. Here, take a look at some of the toxic effects listed in the material safety data sheets of these chemicals, which are intentionally added to vaccines. Formaldehyde, synonym morbicid, potential acute health effects, very hazardous in case of eye contact, hazardous in case of skin contact, corrosive, severe overexposure can result in death. Mutagenic effects, mutagenic for mammalian somatic cells. The substance may be toxic to kidneys, liver, skin, central nervous system. Repeated or prolonged exposure to the substance can produce target organs damage. Exposure to formaldehyde and methanol may cause adverse reproductive effects and birth defects. Exposure to formaldehyde may cause cancer, may cause irreversible eye damage, may also affect metabolism, behavior / central nervous system, excitement, central nervous system depression, convulsions, stupor, aggression, headache, weakness, dizziness, drowsiness, coma. Ingestion, harmful if swallowed, may be fatal, causes gastrointestinal irritation with nausea, vomiting, possibly with blood, diarrhea, severe pain in mouth, throat, and stomach, and possible corrosive injury to the gastrointestinal mucosa, ulceration, or bleeding from stomach. Use, used as a disinfectant, biocide, and in manufacture of phenolic resins and adhesives. Do you see a pattern here? Many of the health effects of formaldehyde are identical to the neurological side effects observed in vaccine victims. Vomiting, gastrointestinal tract irritation, reproductive effects and birth defects, damage to vision, organ damage, and so on. And that's just one of the many neurotoxic additives the CDC admits are intentionally added to vaccines. Thimerosal is another preservative that's still widely used across the vaccine industry. Here's the MSDS on mercury, the primary ingredient in thimerosal. Mercury, very hazardous in case of skin contact, irritant of ingestion, of inhalation. Skin contact may produce burns. Severe overexposure can result in death. Skin inflammation is characterized by itching, scalding, reddening, or occasionally blistering. May be toxic to blood, kidneys, liver, brain, peripheral nervous system, central nervous system. Repeated or prolonged exposure to the substance can produce target organs damage. May affect genetic material, may cause cancer based on animal data. passes through the placental barrier in animals, may cause adverse reproductive effects, paternal effects, spermatogenesis, effects on fertility, fetal toxicity, post-implantation mortality, and birth defects. Now, think about the most common immediate side effects of vaccine injections. We already mentioned headaches, but the second most common side effect is skin irritation at the site of the injection, itching, reddening, pain, and inflammation.
That's Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Everything he just cited, he cited from the vaccine insert information. That's the information that no one who receives a vaccine in the United States, and I mean no one, ever sees. And every doctor, every pharmacist has an obligation, a moral obligation, to explain these are the side effects. So when those on the left, like Mother Jones in the Nation magazine, I'm sorry the Nation magazine only has 12 people in nursing homes who have the magazine read to them and remember their old great years, but the fact is that they're out of step, they're out of lock, they're ideological on this, they're not looking at the science. Just look at the science, just like Mike Adams and thousands of physicians and scientists have. And yet you're excoriating the whole idea of freedom of choice and good science. That's unfortunate. In any case, there are some things that if you knew were in the vaccines, would you take them? Most people who are reasonable and responsible would want information. I'm going to open up our calls now for you to call in and share your thoughts on our talkback. 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. And remember, in case our line goes down again, they've hacked us twice in the last 9 months. When I did my special 5-hour on We Know Who Killed Martin Luther King, and We Know Who Killed JFK, and We Know Who Killed Robert F. Kennedy, all documented, all with scholars, they did it that day. And then they just knocked us off. But we're back up and running, and it'll take us maybe, well, probably 2 weeks to rebuild articles. We're pumping in about 200 progressive articles per day. They destroyed about 25,000 articles, but that's all right. We'll get it back, and they didn't touch our archives. It shows you someone out there, and one of my IT persons said this was a very sophisticated, very smart group of people because they figured out how to de-encrypt three separate firewalls to get through. This was not an accident, he said. In any case, if they think that we're going to back off sharing information on pharmaceuticals and vaccines, think again. In fact, we have sent a letter out. We have invited every leading pro-vaccine physician to come on the show to debate. Just me. I don't need anyone else. And then let's see what these people could get away with. I can promise you they would not get away on my show with what they've gotten away on other people's shows on Pacifica. No chance of that happening. Let's hope that they come on. In any case, before we go to our calls, and I'm standing by waiting, I'm not in the city, I'm finishing up another one, I'll take as many calls as I can. While I'm doing that, here is Mary Holland. Now, Mary Holland, by the way, just so you know, she's a professor of law. She focuses in on human rights and children's rights, and she has looked at the law involving vaccines at the vaccine court, which is based upon the best medical and scientific input to determine does a child who's injured have something that can be done, and the answer is yes, and they can match the illnesses of the child with what's happening with what they've taken. And that's how she produces the information she does. It's very, very scientific, but it's also legal. Here's what she has to say in an article entitled The U.S. Media Blackout, Italian Courts Rule Vaccines Cause Autism. Quote, on September 23rd, 2014, an Italian court in Milan awarded compensation to a boy for vaccine-induced autism. A childhood vaccine against six childhood diseases caused the boy to permanently go into an autism and brain damage state. While the Italian press has devoted considerable attention to this decision and its public health implications, the U.S. press has been silent. And then it goes into the type of vaccines, and this was a particular diphtheria, tetanus, hepatitis B, pertussis, and influenza B vaccine. But that's not the only one. There was a second case in Italy where Judge Nicola De Leo considered another piece of damning evidence, a 1,271-page confidential GlaxoSmithKline report. This industry document provided ample evidence of adverse events from the vaccine, including 5 known cases of autism resulting from the vaccine administration during its clinical trials. See table on page 626. Now, I'm looking at the table. Now, let's be clear on what this is. And I'm going to be reporting when I challenge the nation, Mother Jones, and virtually the entire left, the so-called smart people at the block, you know, the narcissists within the Clinton, Obama, Democratic-controlled media. I want them to challenge on this. They say there's no connection between vaccines and autism. Vaccines are safe. Really? Well, what we have now is we have the manufacturer, and in this case, GlaxoSmithKline, their vaccine. And here it is, and what the Italian court looked at was a 1,271-page confidential Glaxo report. And what are the side effects? Right here it says, nervous system disorders, mental impairment disorders, autism. Twice. So, to be going around saying there is no connection between autism vaccines when the secret reports of the manufacturer's vaccines already know that it causes a vaccine, that, in my opinion, is criminal. And every single executive of GlaxoSmithKline, every scientist that supported it, should be held accountable in a court of law for crimes against humanity. And I'm going to put the left right up there in that same docket where they belong on this particular and specific issue. You're on the wrong side of history, and you should be held accountable for this. So, this is from Mary Holland. And did they come to support her? They condemned her. Too bad. We'll deal with that in my article coming up. Let's now say hello to Tom from the Bronx. Hi, Tom.
Yes. Hi, Gary. I've heard this story about the vaccines. In other words, what is safe then? I mean, what vaccines can there be that are safe?
There's never been a vaccine shown to be safe for each person, individually or collectively. Not one.
Well, I'd like to say when I get a cold, I'm allergic to penicillin. So when I get a cold, I get tetracycline shots. Is that stuff all in?
You're asking me to answer a medical question to you, then I cannot do that. Well, what I would say is, what would I do? First and foremost, I look at the science, but I'm talking about real science, not political science and not corporate science, because we know how corrupt both of those are. I would then ask what happened to the chickenpox parties, the mumps parties, the measles parties that many of us baby boomers were invited to so we would get the condition and hence for the rest of our lives be naturally inoculated. What happened to natural immunity where kids were allowed to play in the dirt and make mud pies, where they were allowed to drink 4 off a bottle? Or take a water hose and drink from it, where we were exposed to natural environments, where we weren't micromanaged as if we were little, precious, rice paper thin people. We actually could survive cuts and scrapes and bruises and broken bones and grow up. Today, I feel sorry for children because they have no opportunity to actually be a child. They have no opportunity to develop natural immunity. Now, I'm doing a major report only with scientific evidence from the leading toxicology and immunology journals and interviewing over 40 leading toxicologists and immunologists not affiliated with pharmaceutical companies on developing natural immunity. That's what we're lacking today. So if you want to overcome a cold, first try preventing a cold. And the things that precipitate colds are sugar. In the article, if you read it on sugar, you will see that 100 grams of sugar, which is a small amount, it's only 3 teaspoons, is enough to put about 50% of your immune system on hold for up to 6 hours. So when people are eating sugar, they're suppressing their immune system. When you're eating refined carbohydrates, you're adversely affecting your immune system. If you want to eat healthy and juice and de-stress and exercise, and then when you feel you being exposed and your immune system's challenged, then you start taking things that matter, like garlic, echinacea, astragalus, ginger, teas, wheatgrass juice, the things that we know stimulate natural killer cell activity, natural immune activity. That's what I would do. Thank you, Tom. I appreciate your call. We have time for one more. Let's Let's go over to Luann Panessi. Hi, Luann.
Hello, Gary. I wanted to share a very nice positive thing with the audience. A couple of months ago, a couple to Florida and decided that they wanted to grow microgreens and learn about sprouting and things like that. And this is a couple that's older, and they're doing very, very well. They're growing their microgreens and their sprouts, and they're selling them at farmers markets. And I think it's a very positive thing, because a lot of people are talking about, well, is it hard to grow microgreens? What does it take? And here we've got a beautiful couple that decided to take this challenge on, and they're doing well. I wonder if you wanted to comment about it.
Yes. The woman is just at 80 years of age, and I think her husband, I don't know his exact age, I'm guessing around 74, and they lived in Pennsylvania on a 600-acre farm. They didn't want the cold winter anymore, and so he asked me, could he learn homesteading? I said, okay. And he just impressed me as a very nice and humble person, and they are. And I've taught them how to grow and microgreens and sprouts, and now they have their own little home-based business at the farmer's market, and they feel good about it because they're eating healthy, they're sharing insights about microgreens, and I would like to see thousands, if not millions of Americans growing microgreens, growing sprouts, because you could do that in your home, in your apartment. Doesn't matter where you live. You don't have to have a backyard to do it. You could do a lot more than you could eat in just 1 6-foot high, 2 foot wide, or 1 foot wide, and 3 foot long metal rack that you can buy at any store and put up. And so that's what they did. And they've been very, very successful at it. And I want to see more people do that, become more food self-sufficient. And for every time you eat a healthy food that you've grown yourself, that's money that you're not putting into a convenience store or into a box store. And that means you're healthier and you're preventing disease and you're more self-sufficient. And then if you do it as a business, then you're able to supplement your income. Okay?
Yeah, plus these foods are so nutrient-rich, so much more so.
Microgreen has 300 to 500% more nutrient density than the full-grown vegetable. And you can grow sprouts in 3 to 7 days, and you can grow a microgreen in 2 to 3 weeks. So it doesn't take long to have something you can actually eat and enjoy.
That's wonderful.
Okay. All right.
Great story. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone who wants to do this type of work, give Luann a call. Luann, give me your number.
Sure. It's 631-504-6198. That's 631-504-6198.
Okay, we're out of time. I want to thank you all for listening. And we're going to be putting the 5-hour special investigative report on vaccines with dozens of physicians and scientists and scholars that I did on Tuesday night. We have redone it, and we're putting it up and so people can listen to it in its entirety or whatever part they wish, okay, on GaryNall.com and ProgressiveReaderNetwork.com. Have a nice day, everyone. We look forward to sharing more in our next program. We just have a minute before we go over to Yatrice Lead. So, Luann, do you have anything else you want to share with us? No, then let's go over and say hello to Yatrice Lead. Hi, Yatrice.
Hi, Gary. Today, it's Free Your Mind Friday on Lead Stories, and listeners have their say.
Okay, good. Yatrice Lead right now, back with you on Monday.